Our text this morning is from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And the title of our message this morning is The Most Dangerous Weapon in the World. The Most Dangerous Weapon in the World. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of the reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Amen. What a powerful word of God, and it gives us lessons throughout. God hears everything we say. How humbling that is. And God tests our faith by our tongue. And we start out saying the most dangerous weapon in the world is our tongue. In chapter 1, verse 26 of James, God said, "If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." If we begin to say all kinds of things, good and bad, our religion is useless. We're a poor testimony is what that means. And God also said in James 1:19, "In every man, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." God gave us two ears so we could hear twice as much as we speak. And that's so very important for us to understand. Sometimes, I'm sure you've been around, where people can't get a word in edgewise because the people don't stop. They just keep talking and talking. The tongue is the most dangerous weapon in the world. Once you have said something, it is beyond your control. You can't take it back. In these verses, God is going to teach us the power of the tongue. But first, he begins with a warning in verse 1. "My brethren, let not many become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." James is saying that a teacher has a greater responsibility. And the reason for that is the grave danger of teaching something that is wrong. There is a wrong teaching, and that is the reason for Acts 17:11. One of my most favorite, I love this part of Scripture. It says, "The Bereans were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, because they searched out the Scriptures daily to see whether things were so or not." And I want every one of you to search out the Scriptures to see whether what I preach here is right or not. You should be doing that. And not just what I say, but what others say. Search out the Scriptures daily to see whether they're right. The more we study the Word of God, the more it can reveal our ignorance. As there is so much in the Word of God. And it is easy for a preacher or for a teacher to become proud. And one should not be that way. We are to give all the glory to God. Because it's the Holy Spirit that speaks through us. That is my prayer as before the message. That the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. The tongue is very dangerous. It is frightening to realize that God will judge us for the ways in which we teach His Word. We will be under His condemnation if we are teaching what is wrong. And the more opportunity we have to speak of God's Word, the greater is our responsibility to God. James has explained two characteristics of a mature believer in our text so far. In chapter 1, he said a mature believer is patient. Secondly, a mature believer in chapter 2 is truthful. Now in chapter 3, James says a mature believer is one that has power over his tongue. Power over his tongue. In James 3, 2, it says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body." What this first of all says, before it says that, is it says, we all stumble. There is no one that is perfect. We all stumble, and that means without exception. And that is why I want to point out to you a scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 20 to 22. And I hope that you would write these texts down. It is so good. It says, "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Also do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear in your servant cursing you. For many times also your heart has known that even you have cursed others." I will repeat these three verses because they're so powerful and so important. "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Not one. Also do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that you have cursed others." You know, our hearts are deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can understand it? It says in Jeremiah 29:11. Or wait, that's the wrong text. But I can't bring it to the right one right now. But it does say in Jeremiah that our hearts are deceitful and wicked. Who can understand it? We are not to curse others. And if someone says something wrong for us, we're not to be upset. We're to be patient. Because if we get upset right away, it's our flesh reacting. Because there are times when even we have said things that we should not say. This is why we all need forgiveness. And we all need to control our tongues. Or what we say. The power of speaking is one of the greatest gifts or power that God has given to us. The power of speaking. God and James gives us six pictures of the tongue in this text. The bit, the rudder, fire, a poisonous animal, a fountain, and a fig tree. And they can be put into three categories. First, the tongue has power to direct. In verses 3 and 4 it says, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. A bridle is used to control a horse by turning its whole body. A little bridle, like a rudder turns a ship. Our tongues can control the very direction that others take. They can control our thoughts, our own thoughts. Our tongues can control our motives and our emotions. So a man's little tongue can turn his whole body like a bridle turns a horse or a ship's rudder turns a ship. Our little tongue. Our tongues can affect the lives of others. And it can control our lives also. We have an old nature, a sinful nature, that wants to control us and make us sin. You know, when we hear something, we want to respond with our tongues. But we need to be patient and not react. It's so easy to let our nature take over and react. So easy. But instead, we need to have a godly principle of love. You know, it says in James, I think it's James 4:8, that love covers a multitude of sins. Love will cover a multitude of sins. The love of God in us should wait, and so our patience can wait before we react to what people say. Or react to what we say, something that's not right. How important it is that our tongues direct us and direct people in the right way. David said in Psalm 39, verse 1, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. So what is David saying? He's not going to react to the wicked or what they're going to say about him, the bad things. David wanted to have a good testimony. He knew it was important to control his tongue. And that's what we are to do. We are to know how important it is to control our tongues so we can have a good testimony for Christ and our Almighty God. James is saying that the tongue is more dangerous than a runaway horse or a storm at sea. In Proverbs 10:19, we read, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Sometimes, in other words, it says the more things we say, sin is going to come about. We need to measure our words, measure what we say, and measure it with love, the love of God. It's a hard lesson for us to learn to not use many words and to speak in love towards others. Our second classification of the tongue is that it has power to destroy. In James 3, 5 and 6, it says, Even the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our nature, and is set on fire by hell. Almighty God has put these words in here. And he says when our tongue gets filled with iniquity and sin, it's coming by hell itself. Those are not the words of God. It is us using words that hell is set on fire with our tongue. We are to speak in love towards others. No matter what it may seem like, even though we may think we're speaking in just words, we're not. We're to speak in love. And that's what this text says. The tongue is like a fire. It can begin with a spark and grow to destroy cities. And we think about it, we go back, it destroyed much of Chicago way back hundreds of years ago. I think it was in hundreds. Chicago fire. We can see how a little fire can take place earlier this year. A little fire started by lightning took many acres and destroyed many homes in northern Minnesota, many cabins. A fire is very destructive. But your tongue is so destructive too, it says. It can destroy. And that's what we need to be careful of. But a tongue can also bring health. The tongue can either be a curse or it can be a cure. Our tongues can break hearts and ruin reputations. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever been involved in that? Where you've spoken so badly of someone it almost hurt their reputation. In James 3, 7 and 8 it says, "For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue." It says no one, not even us, not even you, can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. A tongue does not need to be set on fire by hell. It can be set on fire by heaven and used by God. The tongue cannot be tamed by man, but it can be tamed by God. Only a born-again believer, a tongue redeemed, having a redeemed body, a tongue that God has tamed, can be used for him. We need to know Jesus Christ as our Savior so God can work within us and work with the words that we say. The tongue and heart can be in tune and act together, as it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is where the tongue and the heart work together. The tongue says if you confess and you believe in your heart. When we believe in Christ and have him in us, then God will change our heart and our tongue. As God has forgiven us, we are to forgive others. Josh McDowell, person I've really liked his readings in the past, he said, "Forgiveness is the oil of relationships. Forgiveness allows us to keep our relationships. When we forgive others, our relationships continue. And we pray they will forgive us so we can have that continued relationship. We need to be careful. We need to be patient. We should not have our tongues act unruly or filled with deadly poison. We need to have our tongues expressing the love of God with all those we come in contact with. In Matthew 13, 34, our Lord Jesus says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What is in our heart will come out. If it's in your heart, it's going to come out sometime or another. And that is why we're to fill our heart with the love of God, with Christ. Because if not, our sinful nature is going to take over. And we're going to say things we're going to regret. We need to have our heart cleansed by the Word of God. And our third classification of the tongue is that it can bring a blessing. In James 3, 9 and 10, it says, with it we bless God our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, which means in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. We should not be cursing one another, but we should be blessing them. We don't curse others, as they have been made in the image of God. And it says in James 4:12, there is one lawgiver, and that is Christ, and not us. We should be a blessing to others, building them up. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, we read, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We need to watch what we put into our heart. Keep it with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The Lord Jesus says that what is in your heart will come up. We need to have Christ in us and have a loving heart. It is so important for us to have our speech always filled with grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that we may know how to respond to people. 1 Peter 3:10 says, let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from and lips from evil speaking. God says that if we are happy and want to have a long life, we won't speak badly of others. God says if we want to be happy and have a long life, not to speak badly of other people. It's what the Word says in 1 Peter 3:10. James 3:11 and 12. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh. Isn't that something how nature works? Is that you cannot go to a spring or to water and have it both be bitter and salty, or bitter and fresh. It can't be. God made it only one way. Just like a tree, you're not going to get two kinds of fruit from a tree. God made it one way. An apple tree won't bear apples plus figs. No, it doesn't work that way. But a man can be two-faced and double-minded, can't he? Because that's our sinful nature. It's still there. We can say both good and bad, but no fountain down here and no tree from here is going to do both. The tongue reveals genuine faith, because it is with the mouth that confession is made from the heart. Proverbs 18:4 says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. And God's word is a spiritual water that cleanses us. Jesus says in John 15:3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The very word of God can clean us, it says. And it says in 1 John, it can purify us. The Word of God does. And the more we're in the Word, the more purified we'll be, because Christ will fill us with His Word. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And as we share the Word of God with others, it will feed them, encourage them, and bless them. God tells us we should be forgiving, speaking kindness and encouragement to others. So I want to close with about four phrases here that you all know, but we do not use often enough. First one is, we should be saying please and thank you. We should be using those phrases more, should we not? Because they show appreciation. And we all need to take time and use them. Please and thank you. The second phrase we should use is, I'm sorry. This phrase will break down the walls that we build. We can say things that could cause heart hurting and heart and people to be hurt or be harmful. So what should we say? I'm sorry. Those are important words for us to say. Please and thank you and I'm sorry. Next, we should say, I love you. As Christians, we are to express love to everyone. We are to love every brother and sister in Christ. Yes, we should say them to our spouses. We should say them to our children. Say them to our family. But we're to say them to our brothers and sisters in Christ also. We should say them to someone. I mean, how do you think that would go along if someone was doing something and said, oh, I love you? They might say, what? You can't do that. The Word of God says we're to express that. Please, thank you, I'm sorry, I love you. And the last phrase we should use is, I'm praying for you. But as we say it, we should mean it and do it. It's powerful. I had a friend this morning, he called me a couple weeks ago, and he was preaching today in my old church, subbing in for someone. So I texted him this morning and said, I'm praying for you, that the Spirit will guide you. And that the Holy Spirit will speak to those who are there. The tongue has great power. We should give God our tongue and our heart each and every day as we start out. When we pray to the Father, we should tell Him, give Him control of our tongues and our heart. I'm going to close with one verse. Psalm 141, verse 3, where David says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. It says, King David says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Is that not another powerful prayer we should pray each day? David did. Keep watch over my lips. Oh, there are such wonderful things in Scripture. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just praise you and thank you for this word. And we do pray, Heavenly Father, that you would put a guard over our lips and watch what we say. Father, we pray, God, that you would fill us with Christ so we could speak in love towards others. That we would say please and thank you. And I'm sorry. And that we would say I love you more often too. As well as I am praying for you. Father, we pray, God, that you would help us do these things each and every day. In your precious and holy name, Jesus, we ask this. Amen.